relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
If you like America First, then check out our separate podcast, The Battle for 1600, with my former White House colleague, Boris Epstein. Every week, we give you the inside, in-depth analysis of what's really going on. The Battle for 1600. Subscribe today.
Our fathers brought forth upon this continent a new nation, conceived in liberty and dedicated to the proposition that all men are created equal.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
The world will little note or long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here.
Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people... And the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
And we will make America great again.
This is America First with Sebastian Gorka.
Welcome, dear friends. So you're a regular listener. We've been here, you and I, 3 million of us on radio alone, and then you add all the streamers and the social media for, my gosh, 2.5 years almost. And given that, you think you know how bad the fake news is, don't you? We give you updates every single day. We let you peek behind the curtain and we bring the best guests out there, the truth tellers who talk about things the legacy lying media doesn't want to talk about. But it's only a fraction of the real story. We had to wait until today for a man who is literally breaking the news with his new book. Last time he was in studio, I wasn't allowed to talk about the contents of the book. It's official. It's out. He is the man at the top of the most influential conservative website on the planet. That is an empirical statement founded by Andrew Breitbart. He is the editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. Alex Marlowe, wearing a suit and tie. What's going on?
It's a special day, Dr. G. It's a special day.
You've just come from... Dennis Prager, right?
Yeah.
How did Dennis treat you?
Incredibly. Dennis and I go way back, mostly in my brain, because I've been a longtime Prager listener and reader. And we've become friends over the last few years, and he's just a wonderful guy. And I can't...
A wise guy.
Is there anyone in American media who has a longer legacy of people they've inspired than Prager? Maybe one.
Maybe Elder.
Elder's up there, too. Candace Owens, me, Stephen Miller. A lot of people went through Elder Shop.
Right.
I was thinking Andrew Breitbart might be the guy, though.
Oh, my gosh. I think in terms of impact,
yeah.
Although Dennis's PragerU is hugely impactful. That's true. That's a toughie.
It's a tough one.
And we've got to talk about
it's
Andrew.
It's a great debate.
But let me share with you a little. As soon as I got this book, beautifully dedicated, Breaking the News by Alex Marlowe, fabulous title. As soon as he gave it to me last week, embargoed. Yep. Not anymore.
Strict embargo.
I got home, started reading it, and I just had to tweet about it. And I tweeted out and I tagged Jake Tapper. It was like 2 pages and I said, Jake Tapper, did you really do a whole segment on CNN about Donald Trump's penis? because I wanted to know, is that what modern journalism is? Because it's in the book, right? That's not fake news.
He didn't know. No, it's all real news. And the book is real news. And this is one thing I'm so proud of. And you know how much effort this takes. I have 100 pages of endnotes in the book.
The endnotes are nuts. The references, they start. Hang on. I got it. Just so people understand that this isn't some kind of fly by night. I have to write my first book. The references start on page 253 and then go to page. Oh, my gosh.
He's still flipping.
I'm still flipping. 358. So that's more than 100 pages of reference.
So 1,200 in all.
That's a bit of work there.
It's a lot of work. More work for the legal team who had to vet all everyone.
Oh, poor Larry. Poor Larry, I can imagine. And Joel.
There was a lot of endnotes in there specifically for one reason. One of the greatest weapons the left is using right now, and this is all fake. It's all fake. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to claim stuff as misinformation, disinformation, fake news. And I said, all right, bring it on. Here's 1,200 endnotes. Go through all those and tell me where I got stuff wrong. I will be sending a book to Media Matters specifically and say, here you go. Take a look. Get in there, Media Matters, and tell me where I got the stuff wrong.
Can you get typing today? Guys, you usually type up my show. Have I not been spicy enough? I can't afford the stenographers, okay? So let's really get them irked. And who's that sad case? Zaki at Salon. Are you paying attention? I love it that you get paid to monitor my show. Doesn't that make you feel good? Because you've got your radio show early every morning, that there are sad sacks out there that have to listen to your show and try and get you, Alex.
But how sad is it? And that's one thing that does come through. Some of the characters in the book who are the stars, in a way, they were sort of villains. But in the end, sometimes I felt very sad for them. They have very pathetic existences, a lot of the people who are featured throughout. And there's hundreds of names.
They're not people you want to emulate.
No, right? It's the opposite. And it's
Chuck Todd is not a guy you want to be.
So let's talk Chuck Todd briefly, because this is the big story at Breitbart.com right now, our lead story. Is that it was reported quickly by the New York Post that he was actually Amy Klobuchar's landlord. And this was something that was, to me, a bombshell, and it came and went in like a day. So I had to revive that. And in order to breathe some new life into it, I made my Jacob McLeod, who was my head of research. And I said, Jacob, you're getting paid time and a half, but you're going to watch every Chuck Todd, Amy Klobuchar interview throughout the 2020 race and see how many times Mr. Todd disclosed that they're roommates. Or whatever, landlord.
How many times he says, have you paid your rent this month?
Yeah, exactly. Right. Exactly. You'd be shocked at what the number is, Dr.
Let me guess. Squanzoli?
Squanzoli! You're good.
How did I get it?
That's
real news.
You've had the book. Yeah, but it's but you would think that this would be a major ethics breach. You would think that Chuck Todd would be hauled in front of NBC and say, you're embarrassing all of us. But no, because it doesn't make a difference. Because the narrative is, Democrats good, bad orange man. Right. And so long as you fit that, there is no wrong that you can do. And it's so unfathomably unethical. And then you look into Chuck Todd's wife, Democrat bundler, someone who's worked in a major Democrat campaign.
Not Bernie, Bernie's campaign.
She got paid by the socialist Bernie Sanders.
But Chuck interviewed Bernie.
You know what? For the sequel, I'm going to look it up. How many times did Chuck disclose my wife works for you,
by
the way?
I'm getting time and a half for your employees.
This is it. Well, times zero, one and a half times zero. That works out fine for me. But that's just one little factoid. It is one of the ones that it's kind of fun sugar pop, but it really does reflect a horrible culture at NBC. I do have a whole chapter in NBC News, which was the voice, the face of the resistance. And you start seeing that what the product that they're putting out is – a combination of infotainment like WWE wrestling and conspiracy. It really is conspiracy.
Blue and on.
Yeah, it's blue and on. They call us the conspiracists. I got 1,200 endnotes. No conspiracies in there. Go through them and see if I'm the conspiracy guy. They're the conspiracy people. And when you look at the fake news, for example, Rachel Maddow put out about the Russia collusion hoax, we all know she loved it. But when you read story after story after story after story in a row, you start realizing this person is completely mental, and she's the most popular person.
But she's supposed to be this Harvard, Ivy League, super
brain.
That's the trick.
And NBC does this quite a bit. I write about this guy named John Meacham. John Meacham is someone who wears his glasses so far down his nose, like where yours are right now, Dr. G, all the way there. You wonder how it doesn't fall off. And he is very professorial, and he speaks in these sort of mellifluous tones. But the content's always the same. Democrats good, orange man bad. Democrats good, orange man bad. That's all he says, but he just says it in this way that's sort of scholarly. He was on NBC to praise a speech by Joe Biden. What he didn't disclose is that he wrote it. He wrote the speech. It was his speech. And this was the one instance that I saw where someone actually did get the boot from NBC. And it wasn't like a big ceremonial firing. In fact, they said, you can come back. You just won't get paid to come back. But opining on his own speech, the fact that that climate existed where he thought that was okay, and it came out, luckily, but that was the one firing. But I go through a culture there where it's the WWE of the news, the conspiracies, but also, you want to talk about Me Too, a big corporate-wide effort to protect men that had predatory accusations against them.
Where in the world is Matt Lauer?
I would like to know that.
I mean, he is literally, it's deep sixth. He's gone.
And when you look at the pattern, and I go through case after case after case, where fake news was excused, and powerful men who had been accused of things, remember, believe all women, Dr. G, who'd been accused of things, were defended and protected, and their sins minimized.
And the last point, I think, is one of the most heinous. When you hear these voices in the media, well, you know, poor old Charlie Rose, he was so erudite. He was such a sophist. Sure. And, well, you know, maybe a little bit of hanky-panky. I mean, seriously?
Yeah.
When the left is making excuses for their own side, but if it had been a conservative show host, excoriated forever.
You know, one thing that was interesting is I looked at the 1619 Project, which was, of course, incredibly fake. And that has largely been praised and elevated and continues to show up. Sometimes when the New York Times doesn't have as clear cut of a narrative, they will actually put a correction. But just so long as it doesn't fit their narrative, then they might have some integrity.
It's not truth. It's not all the news that fit to print. It is narrative. Much more here on America First. Relief Factor. Are you in daily pain? Have you tried everything else only to fail to find relief? If that's the case, you must try this product that is providing relief from pain to tens of thousands of Americans across the country, me included, as well as Reggie from Florida. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Powerful words. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. Don't wait any longer. You know it makes sense. What have you got to lose? Accept the pain. 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com. ReliefFactor.com.
What I started to realize at cocktail parties, at pool parties, around my friends and their family, people who inhabited the mainstream media, who inhabited Hollywood, is that the cocktail parties, they would talk about flyover countries if these were some type of heathens or that they were beneath contempt. NBC, for instance, did, who criticizes the Acorn undercover videos to a great extent, saying that this is illegitimate form of undercover video investigation. For Dateline, went undercover to a NASCAR rally pretending to be Muslims. Why did they do that? Because they wanted to get people from flyover country, those people who would dare like NASCAR, to say intemperate or racist things to the passing Muslims. Is that this constant treatment of flyover country with this Talladega Nights sort of, these people are stupid, these people are idiot, these people dress funny, they're not cool. I'm an LA dude, and enough is enough. I don't think that they should be treated with more contempt than they treat actual criminals in this country.
The media is, by definition, full of egos. Lot of egos. I have no truck with them. But you have to be sensitive to your guests. And I was worrying, can I talk about somebody called Andrew Breitbart, who's passed far too early left us years ago when I'm here to talk about a man and his book. And, you know, I don't need to ask him. As soon as we played the audio of Andrew Breitbart, this massive grin broke out on Alex Marlowe's face, who is employee number one at Breitbart News. Alex, thank you for allowing us to talk about Andrew Breitbart. Let me begin with this. I don't read autobiographies. I don't have the patience for autobiographies. I've read two in the last 20 years. One is J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy that explains to me why Donald Trump won. And the second was Righteous Indignation. And if you haven't read Andrew Breitbart's autobiography, read it this weekend. It is life-changing. Chapter 6 alone explains how America got to where we are today with the left in control of every institution except talk radio. Read it. Start with Chapter 6. Can we just dedicate this segment to who was this man and why was he so unique, Alex?
I will always talk about Andrew whenever you would like and whenever anyone would like. It's amazing because I think about how many people Andrew influenced and what esteem and regard everyone on the right in America has for him these days. And he's still underrated, I think, because he was such a visionary. He had a crystal brain, almost like a crystal ball, but, you know, with his brain. And he understood a few things fundamentally. He knew that change was going to come from the culture. He knew that we needed to take over the media and we needed to fight back against the media and we needed to build our own culture if we were going to compete. I think Breitbart's an example of this. Talk radio has always been. Donald Trump's the ultimate example of this. But he also understood something fundamental about the left, which is that they don't want to compromise. And we talked about this in your show last time. Yes. I was here. They want to destroy you. They're in a seek and destroy mode. Right. And there's only two modes for us, which is jocularity, having a great time, right, and righteous indignation. Those are the two modes. That's your toggle switch. You can use both. But those are your tools to use. And that's what I use in this book and what we use at Breitbart every day.
I think a lot of people bristle when they read what Andrew wrote or the interviews he gave, because he never waters it down. Right. He never goes milquetoast. He says, my mission in life is to crush the New York Times, to destroy CNN. And he meant it.
He did. And this is where he was so fearless, is that it sounds sort of absurd on its face, but then you talk to him enough and you realize he believes it to his core and he was going to dedicate every minute of his life to achieving those goals.
And the reason is a very simple one. It's not because of personal animus or something they did to him. It's because he hated bullies, correct?
Yeah, he hated bullies and he hated when normal Americans were being lied to by the elites. Right. Ian lied about, and what he said there in that clip you played, which is so profound, and every Andrew clip, it always just gets better with age. He was suggesting that the way conservative Americans were being treated was as if they're criminals. And how much does that resonate? That's exactly how we're treated. And again, his crystal brain, the pandemic, conservative Americans treated like criminals the whole time, the whole year we've been treated that way. And it is just not fair, and it is worthy of your righteous indignation.
Yeah, you got to read it. The book is Righteous Indignation. We're here to talk about Alex's first book, Breaking the News. One last question. Having watched video clips of him, sadly, I never got to meet him. I was your national security editor before I joined the administration. There was something. His brain was wired different.
Oh, of course.
The way he used social media, I mean, it was like preternatural. His capacity to even affect news cycles. There was something savant-like, wasn't there?
Yeah, and if you look at his tweets, which are still up, that you can see, and you see when he was sending these, I mean, 2011, 2012, it was really before Twitter was the place where there was so much action that there is now, and he was an early adopter to it, and he really perfected that toggle switch there, where he was either having a great time and tweeting about music, or he was taking on a named quantity and putting it right in their face in the public sphere that they needed to defend X, Y, or Z and confront X, Y, or Z fact. And it was so charismatic and captivating. And we used to have a joke in the Breitbart newsroom that the biggest competition for Breitbart.com in terms of traffic, it wasn't Drudge or Fox, it was Andrew's Twitter. Like that was the big competition.
Right, right. Stop tweeting that out. Exactly. It's a story. Stop it.
Exactly.
Stop
right.
it.
So
What do you think he would have been most proud of? Was it Acorn? Was it Wiener? Which bullies was he most excited about taking down?
I think it's the fact that the populace got activated since he passed away, that you've just seen this new revival of activism on the right. And he loved talking to people. I was in the office with him for years. So we worked in his basement, and I would try to keep quiet. Andrew's a very intense person, and I would try to, contribute where I could. But I was 22, 23, 24. I mean, I was a young guy. Didn't know that much about the world at that point. And when Andrew spoke on the phone and he hung up, he could have been talking to a known quantity Fox News primetime host. He could have been talking to a U.S. senator. He could have been talking to the secretary treasurer at the local Lincoln Club. He spoke to all of them the same way. Who does that remind you of? It reminds you of
my old boss.
It reminds you of your old boss and just about every other major conservative figure who's thriving now.
And let me be clear. Maybe it's because I'm an immigrant. What Andrew just mentioned in that cut, what is derisively termed the flyover country, for me, that's the real America. We're talking to Alex Marlowe. Follow him on all social media platforms at Alex Marlowe. The book is Breaking the News, Exposing the Establishment Media's Hidden Deals and Secret Corruption. And it is out. Get it now. If you like what you're listening to, if you want to support this show, please support Mike Lindell, another truth teller, another fighter for America. They're trying to boycott his products. 25 corporations will not stock MyPillow products. Go straight to the source. Go to MyPillow.com. Use my name and Mike's going to give you up to 66% off. Send a message to the fascistic cancel culture leftists. Order today, 800-829-8468 from the pillow that never gets hot, never loses its shape. I use it. My whole team uses it. President Trump loves it to everything else. MyPillow.com, 800-829-8468. Promo code G-O-R-K-A. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, don't you dare touch that dial. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend.
There he is. There's my guy. Good job. How's President. Your new show going? Good?
Very well, thank
I
you.
I heard good.
Thank you, Mr. President. Yes, indeed, especially when you've got guests like our present one in studio, editor-in-chief, employee number one at Breitbart.com. He is, of course, the author as well of his first book, his new book, Breaking the News, Exposing the Establishment's media's hidden deals and secret corruption. Lots of big stories in here to do with Bloomberg, to do with a certain widow, a big tech woman with lots of money. We touch upon those momentarily, but you've got to read the book. But first, I want to pull a thread from our last discussion about Andrew and about predicting what was happening or what was about to happen with conservative politics in this country. Where is the political map today? Because the old taxonomy, the old labels seem to be of very little utility. Yeah. Republican, Democrat, they don't mean anything. Left and right also is pretty plastic. Is it dueling populisms? One is globalist and one is nationalist. Is that too easy a summary? You follow this stuff so closely. Yeah. What labels are you comfortable with.
Yeah, well, I'm a no labels guy because that's very trendy now. No, but it's a you're on to something, and it's much closer to the establishment versus the anti-establishment. I think the corporatist versus the independent, the collective versus the independent. That's what the book kind of started out as. I started out thinking, well, let's write the definitive book on fake news in the Trump era. That was kind of where it started. And as I kept digging into it, I kept seeing this thing play out where the wokeification of our corporations was really becoming the major narrative. It was our corporate media was working hard on behalf of the left and the globalists. And it was just too simple to say this is liberal bias now, that this is true activism, and it is activism on behalf of world's biggest companies. And they do it, really, the biggest media players in the world now are Silicon Valley. It's a single-party town, and they openly censor people who are on the right. Cancel presidents. They're barely even shy about it. And they turn out to be some of the supervillains in the book, as you can imagine. And so, but I'm much more preoccupied with this effort for us to be conformists, for us to all conform to the corporate status quo. This is what the corporations want right now. And what attracts me to American life more than any other country on earth is the rugged individualism. I want to meet great Americans doing interesting stuff and feeling brave and bold enough to try their luck and to try to make it. And that's what gets me excited. And that is being stamped out of us. And we are being told to stay in our house alone with our masks on and, you know, order some DoorDash.
And that hanging out with rugged individuals includes going with a buddy to the shooting range to try out your new 9mm, right?
Oh, absolutely.
That was fun.
The pinnacle of rugged individualism.
That guy, he is a natural, let me tell you. He said, come to the range, show me through a few tricks. I couldn't show him anything. He's a dead-eye Alex Marlowe. With regards to what you said to the reformation of politics, when people say the globalists versus the globalists, people say, what are you talking about? Is it conspiracy theory? How about a little modification?
Sure.
Though it's not really a global government. There's no global regime. It's really people who hate America, isn't it?
That's what it's turned into. And think that America is worthless or bad. And this is one thing that I think is a lot of connective tissue in the book. Has to do with now the people of my generation. I've been concerned about this since high school. People of my generation who are raised on a steady diet of best case scenario. America is not exceptional. It's just kind of a landmass between Mexico and Canada. Yeah. And where America begins, I mean, borders, like what's a border? Who even cares? And worst case scenario, it's the 1619 Project, which I give it to with both barrels, figuratively speaking, for the Soros-funded freaks.
Did you get that? Keep typing. Can you spell figuratively? Media Matters will help you.
Which I don't think you'll ever look at the New York Times again after that section, in my opinion. But there's all these people are getting the steady diet of America is a uniquely horrible place. And now those people are in our newsrooms, and they're running our newsrooms, and now they're in middle management, and now they're in senior management. And if you don't think that's going to have a massive effect on what you're consuming, you're out of your mind. And yes, you're right to know globalist is a little lazy of a word. It's beyond that. It is about people who don't think America is worth anything. It's not worth being preserved.
Collectivists collectivists absolutely. Who hate America. Is that better?
That is essentially what it's about. And it's people who prioritize the world community over the American citizen, which I'll tell you.
Which, by the way, sorry to interrupt, doesn't exist, guys. There is no such thing as the world community or the global columns. We talk the global commons? This is a phrase the Obama administration loved. We are talking about Alex Marlowe's first book, out now, breaking the news. Get it right now. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is America First, coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios.
You know, we have very particular ideas sometimes when we're talking about families of prisoners, and there's a lot of stigma that goes with that label. And so just amazing to watch these young people come alive with the gospel, you know, accepting Jesus for the first time, baptizing. It's amazing what one week can do, but it's a transformative week.
And it's made possible by you. That's Susanna, one of the counselors at one of the Angel Tree camps that brings children together who've lost a mother or father to the prison system to try and break that cycle, get them away from those communities where they're at risk, and just give them Christian fellowship and a chance for some friendship, some fellowship, and an opportunity to just wash off that stigma for at least a week. Please help them, as many as you can. I want to get 130 girls and boys this summer to one of the Prison Fellowship's Angel Tree camps. What our Lord and Savior told us should be the guide. Come unto me, the little children. Make a donation today in any amount, but $200 gets a child to summer camp with the Prison Fellowship for a whole week. Go to my website, sebgorka.com, be a modern missionary, or call Prison Fellowship on 888-206-2794. That's 888-206-2794. SebGorka.com. SebGorka. SebGorka.com. And the Angel Tree banner right at the top. We are back with the editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com to talk about his brand new book, Breaking the News. You mentioned Bloomberg, or we talked about Bloomberg in the break. What is the big story that you brought? Was it yesterday that you had this story from the book about Bloomberg and China?
Yeah, we launched that one on Tuesday. This was my opening piece. One of my deep investigations into Bloomberg was because of their deep connections to China, and I was pretty blown away by what I learned. He's got 20,000 journalists, which is more than New York Times and CNN and The Wall Street Journal combined. And he's got a revenue of about $10 billion a year. So that dwarfs Fox, dwarfs CNN. So people don't realize what a huge player in media. You think of him as Mini Mike. It's hilarious. I call him Mini Mike in the book. It's a great nickname from Trump. But he's really kind of Mega Mike or Napoleon Mike. He's a Mike with a lot of power. And everyone on Wall Street has a Bloomberg terminal, which is his main.
Right, because it started as finance information.
Started as finance information, and it's all filtered. The filter of the way you get financial news is through Bloomberg's eyes, so to speak, his virtual eyes. And in order to have access to the second biggest market on the planet, China, he is willing to say very nice things about Xi Jinping, but he goes beyond that. And I demonstrated over the years that by looking at Chinese propaganda websites, literally their government propaganda bureau, photos, images of him and his top executives flying to Beijing on a regular basis. And
having getting pally with communists.
Smiley meetings. Everyone's having a great time. And according to Beijing, the content of the meetings is cooperation between American media and Chinese media, getting Chinese stories into American media, getting China, introducing China to America. And this is what they were discussing. Now,
let's be clear, there's no such thing as Chinese media. There's state media.
Absolutely. And lo and behold, Bloomberg keeps getting access, and he keeps saying nice stuff. There's a hilarious anecdote in the book where he goes to Singapore to give a speech with some other top Chinese communists, and he is so effusive in their praise, they actually make fun of him for blowing smoke because he's gone too far. The guy's worth $50 billion. He doesn't need to be doing any of this. He's just drunk on power. The type of guy that would tell you can't have a big gulp. That's the type of guy we're talking about.
Right.
And I think that people underestimate what a giant he is in American media. And let's not forget, he ran for president and is one of the top donors to Democrats. So he's not someone you're likely to cross, because if you're a journalist, he could be your boss one day. Maybe he's your boss now. And if you're a potential Democrat candidate or Democrat candidate, you want that money.
You mentioned Big Tech, Palo Alto, what you guys have christened the masters of the universe. Bill Gates' widow. How does she fit into your book?
Not Bill Gates. Steve Jobs.
Sorry, Steve Jobs.
Lorraine Powell Jobs. Yeah, so I looked into her. She's billed as a philanthropist and a woman in tech. Well, she's actually a Democrat piggy bank in a heiress to big tech money, because Steve Jobs died when he was relatively young. And she got about $15 to $20 billion, and she got this from the biggest companies in the world.
Can you just stop there for a second? So Fox, guys, $4 billion a year. $4 billion. She has got 15. Just talk about scales.
Just maybe 20. And what is it in? It's in Disney and Apple, two of the biggest companies in the world, do a lot of business in China. And they will be getting bigger. They're not getting smaller anytime soon. So she's got it made. And yet she has a curious interest in the media. Now, why would someone worth billions of dollars be really interested in investing in media, where a good media, if you make $1 a profit in a year in the media, you're doing a good job. It is a hard, you sing for your supper in media. I know this because I work in the media. And yet she funds all these outlets. And I looked at, where's she funding? She's funding The Atlantic, which is glossy. It's a prestige paper. Axios, popular Beltway blog.
Both never
has,
Trump.
Has an HBO show, votes negative on Trump. But then she funds more activist stuff. ProPublica, Mother Jones. Oh, that's interesting. These are part of the activist left. They do real reporting, but they're openly activist. But then you go down and she funds a thing called Acronym, which runs the Courier Newsroom, which is literally fake news propaganda. It is a way of laundering Democrat talking points into local news. And she funds that as well and has made hundreds of donations to Democrats, all moving in the same direction, all types of messaging.
Is this why, and this is the, I ask this bloody question every week, is this why market forces do not apply to fake news, legacy lying media?
This is exactly right. Why does world's richest man own the Washington Post? That's worth $250 million. He's worth $200 billion. Why did he buy $250 million business? There's only one reason: influence. There's just no doubt about it. They want to have it is the it is a built-in messaging shop. And worst case scenario, these are all places that will never investigate Laureen Powell Jobs or Jeff Bezos because they're cutting the checks.
And when MSNBC's viewership plummets, as has been reported last week after Donald Trump leaves office, it doesn't matter, does it?
It doesn't matter. NBC News is a messaging arm of NBC Comcast Universal, which is a giant international brand that's on how many continents? Every continent in the world, probably. And that's what it's all about. You start realizing if the newsroom takes a little bit of a hit, but it protects the narrative of the rest of the conglomerate, it's a win.
And it's a tax write-off. Find out just the truth behind the fake news legacy lying media in the latest book. The first book from Alex Marlowe, Breaking the News, Exposing the Establishment's Media's Hidden Lies and Secret Corruption. I'm Sebastian Gorka. This is the Salem Radio Network, and we are coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. I don't need a script. I don't have talking points. I've lived it now for more than 2 years. I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. Took Relief Factor. 2 weeks later, I was pain-free, and I'm still pain-free more than 2 years later. But it's not just me. It's people like Leah from Ohio. One Sunday morning, I sat on my couch in so much pain I was in tears. That's the day I ordered Relief Factor. Following directions in 8 days, I found relief, only to get better and better. I'm a believer, 100%. That could be you. That should be you. Order your 3-week quick starter pack right now for just $19.95 at relieffactor.com. Call them on 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening just like I do. And I promise you, by the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you, like it works for me, Leah, and thousands of your fellow Americans. What have you got to lose? Well, only one thing. The pain. What are you waiting for? Call 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
Portions of today's program are brought to you by Prison Fellowship.
We've got it. It's on tape. He said he'll come back every week. Why? Because we've just run out of time. It goes too quickly. He's the editor-in-chief at Breitbart.com. If you don't bookmark him now, you're just not going to get informed. Check them out every morning, every evening. Read the incredible investigative pieces by Matt Boyle, who's a regular. No, that's your camera over there, guys. Thank you. He's still working on the social media thing. The camera looking at you is your camera. Follow him, Alex Marlowe, Breitbart.com. We don't rehearse it. How many talking points did I clear with you first?
I don't know, and you guys can see all the notes I have on my desk.
Right. So, yes, no notes.
I'm going to ask
the really rude question. What the hell are we going to do about the establishment GOP? I mean, the left is the left.
what a great question. And they get it pretty tough in the book, too. It's a, I try to do it in a productive way, but a lot of them, I mean, there are some real, like Brad Raffensperger down in Georgia comes off as a real, really not
what
good.
What about the 35? Well. The 35 Republicans, I'm going to read their names out, who voted for an investigation yesterday for January 6th that will be used as a political cudgel against every Trump voter.
It's tough to do, but I am so heartened by where the people are. I really feel like the people are coached up. They get it.
Are they still solid after November?
I think some of them are taking a breather from being focused day to day, which I don't like. I think they got to come back and get engaged. But I think on the issues, they get that we need a border. They get that we need to have peace through strength. They get that we need to have elevate the individual. They get that we need to have the trade deals of yesteryear are not productive for us. They get that China's a problem, big tech's a problem. Do they have the solutions? I don't know. But step one is I think we're all on the same page on the right, with a few exceptions on that list. But I think those people get in primary, they're going to lose for the most part.
Right. So we can deal with them.
I think so. We got to give ourselves a little bit of time, and that number is still too big.
Yes.
But still, I think it's like 80-20 now. It used to be 50-50.
I think that's right. I think we maybe less. I think it was maybe 40-50 in their favor. Now they're down to 20%. 1 minute left. Got to ask you the big picture question because I said it's all about courage. How does a kid from L.A., from California, who went to Berkeley, what makes him decide to become a freedom fighter for the truth, Alex Marlowe?
Talk radio. That's the answer. I love talk radio, and I bought it. I bought into it. I listened to it. I was so
convinced.
Give
us some of the names.
Larry Elder's number one, Dennis Prager. Okay. I mean, it's just so many people, Levin and Savage and Hannity and all these guys, Laura, and there's just so many people.
Mark.
Out there. Oh, absolutely. Every night. And it was just the whole day just loaded up one person after the next making convincing fact-based arguments. I mean, when I worked for Elder, it's all facts. You want to talk about 1,200 endnotes. The guy can't stop it. He's a tornado.
Larry's got just a little inside baseball. Larry's show prep, because I've been in studios with him when he's prep. It's nuts. And what he packs in terms of data into 1 hour, I'm sorry, most of us hosts who aren't bad don't do that in 3 hours. Yeah. Larry, you're a maestro. We love you just as much as we love this guy, Alex Marlowe. Follow him, support him. Just educate yourself. It's Breitbart. It's a force of nature. God bless you and rest in peace, Andrew.
Thanks, back everyone.
With Sheriff Mark Lamb.